Hello there, and welcome back to Intrusively Unhinged. I'm Jenny.
I'm Renee.
And we are back for part two of the Keddie Cabin murders.
Guys, I have to say, I have been on my tiptoe.
On all of them? Just chilling up there? On the tip of the toes?
I've been doing some ballerina toe stepping. I've been on eggshells waiting for this.
And if you guys knew her, you would probably know that she probably's been on her tippy toes nonstop, binging on trying to figure out what's going on without looking it up because she doesn't want to spoil it.
I do not like things being spoiled, so.
I, on the other hand, you tell me to watch a movie, tell me the whole thing that's happening, what the ending is, and then I'll watch it. I cannot be surprised.
But she doesn't like you to tell it in order. She wants to hear how it ends and then explain how it got to the ending.
Exactly. Details. I need the details, but I need to know what I'm in for and what's about to happen. I can't be caught off guard.
Yeah. It's amazing watching shows with her because she'll jump in the middle of a season and she'll just be like, tell me what's up, like what's been happening up till this point. All right, cool. I'm good. Whereas like I come into the middle of her seasons and I'm like, can we start from the beginning? Like, I need to see everything.
No, and then I have to Google. If I start a show brand new, I have to Google how it's going to end and what's happened up till then.
She's like, reviews.
Yeah, because if something bad happens and I'm like, okay, I can't watch that because I don't even like, she's going to leave him. I don't want to watch it because I wanted them together. So now I'm done with this show. I'm big on that. But before we jump in to the rest, go ahead and please take a minute to leave us a review. Rate us, please, whatever, wherever you're listening. And also just find us on Instagram, intrusively_unhinged. Send us a message if there's something that you want to go over or you want us to go over, actually, a case that you want us to dive deep into. Even if it's just like a ghost story or like anything like that. Like, I'm all about looking into any of that stuff. So, right. For sure.
It doesn't just need to be murder, guys.
No, we are here to please you guys. So let us know.
To an extent, people.
So now let's jump back in. Are you ready?
Oh, so ready. Let's do this.
Go. Okay. So picking up from where we left off, they had just found Tina's body in, you know, kind of awkward stuff that was left with her, right?
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so the jeans with the missing back pocket and an empty medical tape dispenser was found with her. Okay?
Okay.
So, shortly after announcing the discovery, the Butte County Sheriff's Office received an anonymous call that identified the remains as belonging to Tina. So they didn't initially know that it was her.
Well, it's just remains at this point.
But they didn't even, like, put them together that it could be her until they got this call. But fun fact, not so fun, but the call was not documented.
I mean,
let's not follow up on somebody who told you exactly who the remains were, right?
Yeah.
Like, even if he wasn't like, I know for sure, but it's like, have you thought that maybe it could be her? I'm just saying, 3 years later, that's who I'm thinking about.
I mean, how is that not at police's front of their mind? Just some random phone call.
Do you want me to go down the list again of all of the adequate job stuff they've been doing? Okay. So a tape containing a recording of the call was found at the bottom of an evidence box at some point after 2013 by the deputy who was assigned to the case at that time.
Okay.
So it was recorded, but it just wasn't documented. So they kind of stumbled upon it, but didn't know that to go looking for it, basically.
Okay.
So the house in which the murders occurred was demolished in 2004, which I told you earlier. In a 2008 documentary on the murders, Marilyn Smart claimed that she suspected her husband Martin and his friend John Bo Bobity, but he went by Bo, were responsible for the murders. According to... I know, right? You waited until 2008 to come forward with that. So according to Marilyn, Martin and Bobity met at VA Mental Hospital, where Martin was admitted for PTSD from his Vietnam experience.
Okay.
Martin described as dangerous, and that was in quotations. They said he was described as dangerous and was known for his infatuation with the Bible, often preaching to others that he judged as impure. PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
It's a serious mental health concern, and anyone suffering its effects should really be professionally treated. Like, just disclaimer, if you didn't know that, now you know. Unfortunately, it also could have been, like, the contributor to Martin's behaviors because wasn't dealt with correctly or wasn't diagnosed, like, specifically with getting it fixed.
Well, I do also want to point out that PTSD hasn't really been, like, even recognized as something that needs help in, like, you know, soldiers coming back until very recently. So it makes sense that it was, like, so improperly handled back then.
Yeah.
You know?
So Marilyn recalled an incident on the night of the murders.
Talk to me.
According to Marilyn, Martin and Bobody pressured Marilyn to invite Sue out for some drinks, but Sue was to be the companion for Bobody, obviously, because Marilyn was married to Martin.
Okay.
Marilyn said that Sue was not really a drinker, and she did tell them that, you know, she wouldn't want to join them. According to her, she believed that she wouldn't want to join them. Again, according to Marilyn, that's exactly what happened. That was her response, and this angered Martin and Bobody.
Okay.
Marilyn claimed that on the evening of April 11th, 1981, she left Martin and Bobody at a local bar around 11 p.m. and returned home to go to sleep. She stated that she had awoken at approximately 2 a.m. on April 12th to find the two men burning an unknown item in the wood stove.
So, I don't want to sound like I'm, like, doubting her or taking anyone's side here. But is it possible that this unknown object could have been a log?
Possible.
Okay.
So additionally, she alleged that Martin hated Johnny Sharp with a passion, the 15-year-old son.
As grown men usually do.
Yeah. She claimed to have found a bloody jacket, and this supposedly belonged to Tina Sharp, according to Marilyn. Mm. She says that she did turn it over to the police, but there's nothing to substantiate her statement. There's no proof that that's what occurred. But again, the police were doing such an adequate, amazing job, like, they could have just accidentally misplaced it.
I mean,
I'm not putting it past them, and I'm not saying she's a liar, because right? I wasn't there.
I mean, we have the recording of a call that was never documented. So, like, maybe the jacket is, like, in an unlabeled case box, or maybe a mislabeled case box. Just never know.
This is true.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Sheila Sharp, the oldest daughter.
Okay.
She wrote in her book, How to Survive Your Visit to Earth.
Okay, but...
Well, in the book, she theorizes...
I need to read that.
Yeah, you should.
Just that title alone.
Yeah, no, it's good. You should read it. All of you guys should just check it out. It's a very good book. So she theorizes that Martin Smart and John Bobody were the killers as well.
Okay.
However, in 2008 documentary, Sheriff Doug Thomas, again, top notch, said that basically there's no way that could be possible because he interviewed Martin and he passed a polygraph exam.
Oh, well, I mean.
End all do all right there.
Yeah.
We all know polygraphs are not.
They're not reliable.
No.
That's like putting on a blindfold and throwing a dart into an empty field expecting to hit a tree.
I'm just, there's no weight in that for me, but he's. You know, no way he could have done it. He passed the polygraph.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so according to a 2016 article published by the Sacramento Bee.
Sorry.
Are you choking? I did. Excuse her.
Pardon.
So, Martin had left Keddie and driven to Reno, Nevada shortly after the murders occurred. While there, he had sent a letter to Marilyn ruminating on personal struggles in their marriage, which he concluded by stating, quote, "I've paid the price of your love, and now I've bought it with four people's lives."
What?
Right?
What?
I don't know. Sounds like
okay,
hitting the nail on the head right there.
Right. That, I mean, if that's not an outright confession, that's a pretty dang near coincidence.
Exactly. So in a 2016 interview, Gamberg stated that the letter was overlooked in the initial investigation and just happened to never be admitted as evidence.
Guys, that's that adequate police work.
Telling you.
Adequate job.
Yeah. He was later criticized the quality of the initial investigation, saying, I mean, you literally could take someone just coming out of the academy and they could have done a better job. So Gamber is the person who was on the investigation at this point in 2016. So he's 100% saying, Thomas, Officer Thomas, messed up.
Well, I mean, it sounds like he's saying that all of us crime junkie peoples, all of us crime stopper investigators, all of us people could do a better job than
true crimers what over they here. Did.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, guys.
Well, I mean, he didn't technically say that. He said coming out of the academy. So he's definitely stating, like, law enforcement. But.
Well, I feel like we got some law enforcement training with all of our.
Oh, yeah. Totally in my blood. It runs in there. Couldn't tell because I don't wear a uniform, but it's fine. I don't got a badge. So a counselor whom Warren regularly visited also alleged that he had actually admitted to the murders of Sue and Tina, but was like steadfast in, I quote, well, he quotes, I didn't quote it. He quotes, it says, I didn't have anything to do with the boys, unquote. So he's all about, I killed Sue and Tina, but not the boys. I didn't kill those two. Which leads me again back to what I had said in part one. It seemed like two different MOs.
Yeah, two different people, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he allegedly told the counselor that Tina was killed solely to prevent her from identifying him, as she had, quote, witnessed the whole thing, unquote. It has been strongly suggested, though, that Tina, however, was the main focus of the killings, are central to it all, due to the fact that she was the only one taken from the home that night.
True.
If you were just killing her so that she didn't identify you, why'd you take her?
Exactly.
You know, that doesn't really make. So it's stated by former Plumas County Sheriff Greg Hagwood that, he quotes, there was something about Tina that could not be left there to be discovered. He strongly believed that there's something about Tina that did not allow for her to be left there. How do you feel about that? Would you agree?
I'm like,
four murders. Three of them left there.
Yeah.
Tina was not.
And like, no attempt to even like, what, like, so if it really is this guy and his friend, they know the boys are in the back room. The younger boys, because his son is sleeping over there.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows those other boys are in the back room. So, like, there's more than just Tina as a witness or a possible witness.
Exactly.
You don't know if those boys saw anything until, like, now we know. But, like, at the time, like, it seems like this sheriff, you said he was, it seems like he knew. Where was he in the beginning?
Right.
Okay, tell me we got something good. Let's go.
So Martin Smart, the neighbor to the Sharps, and his friend, Bo, they end up being identified as the two primary suspects in the case.
What? Shocking.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I was like, no way, not them.
It's not possible.
How did this happen? Unfortunately, though, like, even though, like, they're the main suspects now, Martin Smart died of cancer in Portland, Oregon in June of 2000.
I just don't know how to feel right now.
Bo allegedly had ties to organized crime in Chicago. He died there in 1988, so 7 years after the murders.
Oh.
Okay, so Special Investigator Mike Gamberg and the former Plumose County Sheriff Greg Hagwood, they reopened the case in 2013 and later stated that the Keddie case was solvable and that during the initial investigation, both the DOJ and local deputies made crucial mistakes. And that was a quote for them. Crucial mistakes. This included evidence that wasn't logged, clearly.
Clearly.
Tampering with the crime scene and leads that weren't properly investigated at.
Well, thank you for recognizing and speaking out on your
calling out your peeps.
Yeah.
So specifically, Gamberg and Hagwood believe that the tape of the anonymous caller was covered up to allow a suspect to get out of town. Wasn't documented, but put at the bottom of
the box. Yeah.
Of the investigation.
Shocking. Intriguing.
The victims' families, including Sheila Sharp, also believed that there was a cover-up.
Sheila.
Sharp said, I was told, and this is a quote coming from her, quote, I was told the suspects were told to get out of town, so to me, that means it was a cover-up, unquote. I'm curious as to who told her. Who told her that? And if it was a cover-up, that would be a horrible cover-up to be like, yeah, I told them to get out of town. But I'm assuming maybe somebody who knew somebody who, you know how it always gets handed down, like
a telephone.
I heard that the cops told them to get out of town. And remember, it's a small town, so like people have loyalty in small towns. So I also wouldn't put it past them that somebody would help somebody get out of town.
Yeah.
So for Gamberg, the case was personal because he knew all the victims and had given martial arts lessons to the boys. Hagwood, who was 15 at the time, also knew the victims. So both of them that are working on the case and reopened in 2013 personally knew the victims.
So this was pretty...
Yeah, and remember, pretty small town.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they believe that there are at least two people still alive who were accessories after the fact.
Okay.
One of them is probably the anonymous caller who seemed to have special knowledge about what happened to Tina Sharp. And it doesn't specifically state what they mean by that. I try to look it up, like, but all it says is they said on the call, like, have you thought about the Tina Sharp case or the murder case? It could be Tina Sharp. She was missing. But based on that statement, I would think that they had to have said something else specific about the murders that
something that actually
wasn't
tied
publicized.
It yeah. It's always
publicized.
There you go.
Publicized. My bad. So Hagwood stated that, quote, it's my belief that there was more than two people who were involved in the totality of the crime, the disposal of the evidence, and the abduction of the little girl. We're convinced that there are a handful of people that fit those roles who are still alive, unquote. Mm-hmm. So I would think, hopefully, that means a chance for...
Yeah. Some closure.
Yeah. On March 24th, 2016, a hammer matching the description of the one Martin had claimed to have lost was actually discovered in a local pond, and it was taken into evidence by Plumas County Special Investigator Mike Gamberg. Plumas County Sheriff Hagwood, who was 16 years old at the time of the murders and knew the Sharp family, stated, the location it was found, it would have been intentionally put there. It would not have been accidentally misplaced. Gamberg also stated that at the time, six potential suspects were being examined.
Okay, that's... a leap from two people to six.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In April of 2018, Gamberg stated that DNA evidence recovered from a piece of tape at the crime scene matched that of a known living suspect.
Ooh. Guys, go. Let's do this.
They know where this person is located, but have not disclosed if or when they would question them again.
Okay.
Right? It's like, ooh, what?
Thanks for just slamming that door on my face.
I'm sorry. I just go where it leads me.
Okay.
So Gamberg said he learned of the Vidocq Society and contacted them in 2016. They were interested, and he was invited to send them a synopsis of the case. They accepted the case to review and stated that they would pay his expenses when he visited them in Philadelphia that fall. Anyone with information is asked to call the Plumas County Sheriff's Office at 530-283-6360. And that is basically where it's at.
Yeah. I mean, there are still, like, so many questions out there. Like, what the heck? Like, okay, I want to know, like, were they able, like... Oh my god, guys. I can't. Okay, I'm like, my mind is just so jumbled. Where was Tina for 3 years before her body was found? Like, how long were her remains, like...
There's a lot of evidence that they've kept sealed because it doesn't even state, like, how long they believed her body to be in the woods. Was she dead the whole time? Was she killed immediately after? Was she held somewhere? Was she put there later? They couldn't even really, because her remains...
Like, decomp was so bad?
Yeah, that they couldn't even determine how she died.
Just...
So it's just a lot of questions, like, who killed the Sharps? Who killed Don Wingate? I also noticed that, like,
they never... I didn't see you or any of the reports that you, like, spoke on, like, mention anything, like, she was nude from her waist down. Was there... any type of, like...
It did not say anything if there was any sexual assault.
I want to say, like, it's just very suspicious that, like, she's nude from the waist down, and he was very adamant to say, I didn't do anything to the boys.
There is rumors that they actually had a romantic relationship.
Wait, Sue and Martin?
Mm-hmm. There is nothing to substantiate it. It was just rumors. Okay. They thought that maybe they were having a romantic relationship. Maybe...
Like the wife found out and...
No. So they thought maybe they were either having a romantic relationship or Marilyn was, like, disclosing to Sue about abuse from Martin. And Sue probably, if that was the case, was, you know... saying that she should leave him because she left her allegedly abusive husband. And remember, Martin was dangerous. If he was abusive and angry, he went in and killed. But it just, to me, it doesn't line up and it doesn't fit.
Also, what kind of, like, throws it off for me is because, like, there's no emphasis on what they meant by dangerous. Like, was he just belligerent and loud? Did he get physical with people? Like, was he known to be, like, a fighter?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, like, I feel like there are some things that they probably should have reported a little bit more on. If you're going to say, oh, well, you know, we press charges against these people. We can't actually charge them with anything because they're now dead. But, like...
Well, it stated that, like, John and Tina could have, like... attitudes a little bit, but that's not a reason to kill someone.
No, it's not.
And if you're mad because she told your wife to leave you,
then be a better husband.
What's the reason? That's not a reason to kill her, first of all. But then you kill her, you kill her son, you kill the son's friend,
and then you kidnap
the daughter and kill her. Like, that, it's just, the math is not math and it is not adding up. It doesn't make sense.
Make it make sense. Someone help us. Like, if you guys can take this and explain how it got to the point that it got to in a logical manner, like, I need to know, because, like, I'm just spun out.
Yeah, so the Keddy Cabin murders remain just a dark shadow over this town, mm-hmm. a reminder of the evil that lurked in there once midst one fateful night. The impact of these murders on the small community of Keddy obviously cannot be overstated. It changed the way residents slept at night, the way they interacted with each other. The unsolved nature of the case has left a lingering sense of unease, even this many decades later. And for us, as true crime enthusiasts, it leaves a puzzle. A puzzle filled with missing pieces, half-told stories, and secrets that might never see the light of day.
So if you have any theories or information about the Kitty Cabin murders, we'd love to hear from you.
Remember to subscribe, follow for more deep dives into history's most intriguing and unsolved mysteries in true crimes, ghost stories, really anything.
And give us a rating down below. It really helps with the algorithm. And it also helps
us feel better that you're interacting. We do this for you guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. My brain literally just stopped. But yeah, so until next time, stay safe and keep questioning the world around you.
Bye. Bye.